Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. This week I read some great pieces that opened my eyes a bit. Not to things that changed my world or anything, but good explanatory things. It's not something I'll go into here, but I will say that if you're a Freemason now, consider joining a research lodge in your state if you haven't already. It's a missing part to the Blue Lodge that some feel is lacking. On the other hand, some lodges do still read Masonic papers in lodge, but usually these research lodges are a bit more esoteric. I want to give a short rant here about two kinds of people. One, the people who are not initiated, and two, the brothers who are a little uneasy about what's going on. So let's get started. So, you watched those special documentaries about Freemasons. They revealed handshakes, oaths, and other secret words. Some of our brothers have grown sick and nauseous, knowing that something as sacred as our ritual is being exposed in this way. I too was upset. However, I was only upset because it is the latest incarnation of media to the masses. Before this, there were several tell-all books, and you can find the Grand Masonic Word or anything else on the internet by simply searching for 5 minutes or less. If you will recall Brother Albert Pike, who exposed much of Masonry to the world in his Morals and Dogma, a book that still today causes Masons grief as the language and what he speaks about is taken out of context by nearly all who read it, mostly because they are not of the fraternity and know not of how to interpret these things. These new shows try and make a visual for all who want to know more about us. And of course, when someone knows something of your sacred vows that has not taken them themselves, it feels cheapened in a way. But this feeling is temporary, and I say this because I ask you now, has any of these shows ever gotten it 100% right? And if they have, I will tell you one thing that they have not done. They have never revealed any of our actual teachings. The real treasure, the knowledge, think about it. Have you ever seen a brother giving a lecture on one of those Freemasonry revealed shows? No, you haven't. All they reveal, if anything, are some of our traditions. So, if you're one of these fellows out there who thinks you know Freemasonry because you have watched all the shows, you don't know anything. We are a society with secrets, and I don't care what anyone says on the television or in books. There are secrets, and I'm not talking about just passwords and handshakes. Those secrets are the roadmap to the other thing we are said to have, a treasure. And that treasure is attainable as well. Those secrets are in lectures, and the treasure is knowledge. You may think you understand this, but until you have passed through our solemn ceremonies and taken your obligations, anything you have seen pales in comparison to what it actually feels like to become a Freemason. So if these shows have sparked interest, find a local lodge and find out more. If these shows scare you, I would urge you to do the same. I'll leave you with this. When Freemasonry is being showcased in a special on television and you learn something about it, I would say you learn no more about it than what you would learn about the cosmos in a 2-hour special. Do you really think that all you need to know can be compressed into 2 hours? Would you go into outer space and solve physics-based problems because you watched Morgan Freeman explain the wormhole? I think not. The same is true for Freemasonry. You cannot but hope to attain all we have to offer, which takes a lifetime, not a 44-minute special with commercial breaks. This week, I have a small piece from the California Freemason magazine titled, How Does Your Garden Grow? How Does Your Garden Grow? In Freemasonry, we find the beauty of life itself, by John L. Cooper III, Sr., Grand Warden. In some respects, Freemasonry is like a beautiful garden. A garden is a living entity that brings beauty to the eye of the beholder. Some gardens are formal, with flower beds laid out with regularity, and whose charm lies in the order of symmetry thus displayed. Some gardens are informal, looking as if God had cast seeds to the earth in random order, but whose composite beauty, when in bloom, defies description. Freemasonry is like such a garden, or rather, like a constellation of gardens, all presenting different aspects to the eye of the beholder. As with a formal garden, there are aspects of our fraternity that we cherish, which are formal in nature. Our degrees conferred with exactness, a word, and ceremony convey the timeless lessons that all Masons learn as they pass through them. Our meetings impose the formality of respect for the presiding officer and, through him, respect for all brethren present. We have the ancient teachings of Freemasonry enshrined in our lectures, which convey timeless truths to each generation. But Freemasonry also shares the exuberance of the wilder garden, where color and shape run riot. There is a friendship which knows no bounds of formality, but which spills over into a cascade of good deeds done without hope of fee or reward. There is brotherly love, which constrains not only our relationships with one another, but inspires our commitment to our families, friends, and neighbors. It fills our idle hours with pleasure and undergirds and supports our busier hours as wage earners, citizens, and perhaps as husbands and fathers. We find in Freemasonry a deep sense of beauty of life itself, and our ancient and honorable institution becomes the source of great personal satisfaction as the years roll by. To ask a Mason why he is a Mason is like asking a gardener why he gardens. A gardener finds in his garden a sense of order and beauty and an expectation of the unanticipated that only the master gardener can bring into being. Similarly, a Mason finds his fraternity the peace and serenity of sincere friendship and brotherhood, a sense of order and harmony as set forth in the principles of Freemasonry, and the surprise of joy when Freemasonry opens to him a vista that he never knew existed. To explain why membership in this ancient brotherhood is so valuable to a Mason is easy. Just look around. Next is another from the California Freemason from a while back, but I thought it was still relevant since another book is sure to come. More Than a Passing Fad by William J. Bray III, Deputy Grand Master. My wife Linda and I have two grandchildren. It's amazing how they latch on to new fads. I remember when Game Boy came out. They immediately began pleading for one of their own. Billy and Petey were just 9 and 8 years old at the time. They hadn't read about Game Boy in the newspaper, they hadn't seen it on Good Morning America, and yet they caught wind that it was the toy to have. Popular culture is certainly pervasive, and in recent times it's hard to think of a book with more media hype behind it than The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown. Like it or not, Freemasonry was at the center of all the hype. Just like our grandkids with Game Boy, pop culture pounced on a new fad, Masonry. As a result, our fraternity is experiencing something like 15 minutes of fame right now. Young adults are Googling Freemasons to learn more. Baby boomers, who were Job's daughters, Rainbow Girls, or D-Malays, are sharing their Masonic background for the first time in decades. As the next page illustrates, media coverage of our fraternity has skyrocketed. If you're like me, you may be cautious about rejoicing. I've never been a believer in any press is good press, especially when it comes to my fraternity, something that I hold so dear. But there is something really encouraging and reaffirming about the quality of recent press. Our reputation is intact. Of course, not all the facts are straight, and this issue of California Freemason will address that. But by and large, the message about what our fraternity believes is accurate. In hindsight, I'm not surprised. Our reputation is built on a strong foundation, more than 4 centuries of pursuing truth, brotherly love, and relief. It's hard to make a case for a sinister side when we continue to live up to that reputation. By lending a hand in our communities, supporting public schools, and donating millions of dollars and thousands of hours to charity every year. When the Lost Symbol dust settles, I think we'll notice some enduring results of these 15 minutes. First, more good men will have come forward to join our fraternity. Second, the general public will be more aware of our presence in their communities. Many may still be swayed by the persistent sense of mystery and sensation surrounding our gentle craft. Our challenge, as always, will be to welcome opportunities to explain who we really are, what we really do, and how our values drive us. Others will see what we already know. We are more than just a passing fad, and when our 15 minutes are up, we will still be making a difference. This week's famous Freemason is Gerald Rudolph Ford, 1913 to 2006, the 38th President of the United States of America, from 1974 to 1977. Gerald R. Ford, Jr. was born in Omaha on the 14th of July, 1913, by the name of Leslie Lynch King. His mother left his father when he was 2 years old. They moved to Michigan, where his mother married Gerald R. Ford, Sr., and he adopted his stepfather's name. Ford studied liberal arts in Ann Arbor under the athletic scholarship of football at the University of Michigan. Ford was a very successful football player, but he did not carry the sport any further because he saw no future in it. In 1948, Ford announced that he wanted to challenge the Congressman Jonkman in the Republican Party primary. Jonkman never took the young Ford seriously, and thanks to Ford's vigorous campaigning, he won the primaries. In November of 1948, Ford was voted into Congress. He was in the House of Representatives from the 3rd of January 1949 to the 6th of December 1973. In his first year in the House, Ford joined a group called the Chowder and Marching Club, where he first came into contact with Richard Nixon, who was also a member. They developed a good friendship and relationship, which was significant throughout Ford's political career. In 1961, Ford was appointed chairman of the House of Representatives Conference, which was the number three leadership position in the party. That same year, Ford was also named the Congressman's Congressman by the American Political Science Association, a very cherished award. In 1972, the Watergate scandal became public. Ford remained loyal to Nixon, but Ford had also been able to lead his party in Congress without making the host of enemies that Nixon had made by then. His combination of loyalty and reliability was a big success. Vice President Agnew was mixed up in some scandals of his own and was forced to resign on the 10th of October in 1973, and he pleaded no contest to charges of income tax evasion. Nixon would be the first president to act under the 25th Amendment and offered Ford the job of vice president. Ford was sworn in as Vice President of the United States on December 6, 1973. On August 9, 1974, Ford became the 38th president after Nixon, who was also forced to resign. 1 month after Ford took office, and after a lot of debate, he decided to give Nixon a full pardon. He thought that this was best for the country, but this decision made him lose the 1976 elections. After President Ford left the White House, he continued to serve America as an elder statesman, speaking out on major issues of the day and lending his expertise on both public and private sectors. His Masonic record, initiated September 30th, 1949, Malta Lodge No. 465, Grand Rapids, Michigan, along with his half-brothers, Thomas Gardner Ford, 1918-1995, Richard Addison Ford, 1924, and James Francis Ford, 1927. The Fellowcraft and Master Mason degrees were conferred by Columbia Lodge No. 3, Washington, D.C. on April 20th and May 18th in 1951 as a courtesy to Malta Lodge. Brother Ford was made a Sovereign Grand Inspector General, 33rd degree, and honorary member of the Supreme Council AASR, Northern Jurisdiction at the Academy of Music in Philadelphia on September 26th in 1962. For which he served as an exemplar representative for his class. Brother and President Ford was unanimously elected an active member of the International Supreme Council Order of De Molay and its honorary Grand Master. At its annual session held in Orlando, Florida, April 6th through the 9th, in 1975, Brother Ford held this post until January 1977, at which time he became a past honorary Grand Master, receiving his collar and jewel on October 24, 1978, in Topeka, Kansas, from Honorable Thomas C. Rahm, Jr., Grand Master, Order of De Molay. That's it for this week. I hope you all enjoyed. Remember to find us on Facebook and like the show. Follow us on Twitter at WhenceCameU and add us to your circle on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. You can also email the show at that same address. Visit the website wcypodcast.blogspot.com for links to everything, including the Android and Apple apps, which let you listen to the show streaming. No more syncing. Anyway, have a great week, everyone. And for WhenceCameU, I'm Robert Johnson.